being so bad. I'm telling you, when we began to pray and get rightly related to God, the devil gets rightly related to God too. Look with me in Luke 18. You see, God wants the cities. San Bernardino, we had some pastors that came out there, from there, came out to Cedar Rapids and visited with us for a while and took back some of the things the Lord showed us, and they began to pray, got together with the other pastors, and San Bernardino had, they saw between last year and this year, they saw the violent crime rate and the murder rate especially dropped completely in half. They saw that go down, and the chief of police was totally miserable. They mailed me the headlines of their newspaper. It said, "We have no idea why this is happening." But you know, in the surrounding cities, they said, but the violent crime in the surrounding cities had increased. There was something that occurred when the church began to pray together, get rightly related to God, that began to impact their city. It was the same thing that happened with Cedar Rapids. It happened with Calgary. Calgary, Alberta was the most violent city. It's a real cowboy town, Calgary. And it was the most violent city in Canada back in February of the previous year. And they called and they said, "Francis, we want you to come out and tell us how to do spiritual warfare." I said, "Are you praying together?" They said, "Well, we're praying around the same time in the morning, but we're not meeting." And they tried to stretch the requirements as wide as they could. I said, "No, you got to be in the same building praying together. And you can't leave this up to chance. You got to be doing it and committed to it." So they started. They started from that time when I spoke to them. By August of that year, Calgary was the safest city in all of Canada. They turned it. They're starting to push the enemy back. See, the Lord of hosts wants to exercise his authority through the church. San Francisco. How many of you are familiar with the Larry Lee prayer breakthroughs that they have? Okay? Now, for those of you who... How many are not familiar with those things? Can I see? A few of you. This is a story worth repeating, though, for all of us. Last October, Larry Lee is going to go to San Francisco. Now, if I was God, and I had a place called San Francisco, I'd practice my flicking of the finger. God's got big fingers, you know. Boom, and I'd take care of that just like that. Because San Francisco, if you've ever been out there, I'd give my people a warning. I'd say, "All right, let's call for a church picnic in Oakland. All right, let's get everybody out of San Francisco because I'm taking care of it tonight." That's what I would do if I was God. But God is so much more merciful. Now, aren't we thankful that God is more merciful than... Well, anyhow, Larry Lee felt this leading of the Lord, and he and Pastor Dick Burnell and a lot of other pastors in that area got together with 6,500 Christians, and they went in, rented in the auditorium in San Francisco, and they had a prayer breakthrough. Now, you know that there was a man named Eric Pryor who organized 20,000 witches and warlocks to curse them and to stand against them. And it was front page in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, covered this article about this confrontation between the Christians and the Satanists. It was on all the television stations there, these witches and these warlocks. And this Eric Pryor was a practicing warlock in the Wicca Satan worship. And what happened when they were there, I'll try and keep this fairly short, but what happened was the local television announcer decided it'd be interesting to invite Dick Burnell and Eric Pryor to a panel discussion about what was about to happen. Now, Dick Burnell, by the way, was an ex-Hell's Angel, and he pastors like a 6,000-member church in Oakland area. And so the announcer figured if I can get Dick Burnell in and he can get Eric Pryor in, it'd be like nitro meet glycerin. We'd have a very high rating. What actually happened was grace met need. And Eric Pryor and Dick Burnell went out for coffee. And they hit it off. And grace was everywhere to be found. Where iniquity abounded, the grace of God was abounding the more so. And they actually, believe it or not, liked each other. They used to be, I mean, they were, you know, they all had real estate in hell. And Dick could relate to some of the things that you know, Hell's Angels, you know, they own some property there in the darker regions. And so So Dick Burnell convinces Eric Pryor to come to the prayer seminar. Eric Pryor looks like hell. You understand? He's been there. He's been baptized into it, and he come out looking like hell. And so he comes in to the prayer conference, and he's got his girlfriend with him, Eric Pryor's girlfriend. And they go in, and they're in the time there, and Eric Pryor's girlfriend goes down, gives her life to Jesus during an altar call. Okay? Now, about 3 days after the conference, Eric gets invited, and Dick picks him up, and he brings him over to Dick Burnell's church, and Eric goes down and gives his life to Jesus Christ. This is the leader of those Satanists. The leader of those Satanists. Okay, now what that says to me is, if God has grace for the worst, he's got grace for the all. He's got grace for all of them. God wants San Francisco, the mayor of the city, some Greek guy or something like that, was fasting and praying for his city. The normal mayor, this lady, Feinstein, was running for governor. She vacated the office and a Christian got in. Can you imagine a Christian in San Francisco getting elected? It couldn't happen. She had to leave. But God was after something in that city. You follow? This Eric Pryor called. He called about a dozen times after he got saved. He called our office. He starts telling. He's a real Christian. You know, I mean, we pray for him pretty regularly, and you ought to keep praying for him. He called and he says, Francis, you know what? He said, somebody, I think Dick Burnell gave him a copy of the Three Battlegrounds. And this guy would carry it, and he'd write things down. He just really was met and ministered to, and he just loved it. But he went and he has about 200 main witches and warlocks all over the world, England and, you know, and New York and Los Angeles and, you know, some really bad people. And you know what he does? He goes and tells them, you got to read this book by Francis Frangipane. I said, why don't you paint a bullseye on my back? Why didn't you say it was written by Sam or something, you know? Anyway, God is after our cities. Do you understand? God wants our cities. Did I say go to Luke 18 yet? All right. Luke 18. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Now I want to say something about this parable. This is an end time parable. This is not just first century information. This is especially anointed for the last moments of the age. The people in that kingdom, the people who are responding to the anointing and the voice of God in this hour. And he said that there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to this judge saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, did you hear what the unrighteous judge said? Now, shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you, he'll bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, when he asked that question, it's not because he doesn't know. When he asked, will he find faith in the earth, he is saying that to us. And it's a challenge. Will he find faith? Now, the faith that he's looking to find is the kind of faith that this widow, who is a type of the church, okay, this widow, who's a type of the church, gains legal protection, or as King James says, avenge me of my adversary. This widow, through her persistent prayer before God, gains a cleansing of the realm of spirit, a cleansing of the church, a cleansing of the region, and sees legal protection given to her against her opponent at law. And that's the kind of faith he's looking for Not just knowing the doctrines, but literally appropriating the doctrines, obtaining the promises, until we see our cities, the adversary, driven away from the city. Say amen. Even if you didn't understand that, say amen. Did you understand that? Okay. Jesus, whatever Jesus says, he says things on lots of levels. And the images that Jesus used, he used it to say things on several levels. It means exactly what it says on the visible, obvious level, to pray and keep on praying. That's the point of the story. But on a prophetic level, it's speaking to the end of the age. The church, he's saying here in the first century, he's yelling through the age. He says, hey church, I'm in the first century, but this is for you at the end of the age. I want there to be faith in the earth that can change cities. I want there to be faith in the earth that will see the adversary, your adversary, driven away from those cities. I want there to be faith on the earth where you can obtain your legal protection. You have a legal protection. On the cross, Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. He rendered them powerless, him who had the power of death, even the devil. But today in the cities, the question is to the church. Will Jesus find faith? And the question is, if he finds faith, then he can manifest himself as the Lord of hosts in that region. He can manifest himself as the Lord of hosts. Well, there's a lot of things we can talk about concerning this. I'm going to talk tomorrow about spiritual authority and how we move in it and what God has said is ours and how to exercise standing on the promises of God and the kind of attitudes that the Lord will anoint and endorse. But tonight I want to expand our understanding as to who it is who shall endorse us. I want to expand our faith so that we know that as we believe and as we cry to Him day and night, what we can begin to expect to happen. He is going to have a harvest in this country. There's going to be some cities, I have to warn you, the Lord told me to warn the people that there'll be some cities that the darkness is so dark and the church is so passive and the church is so divided that His only word to those cities are, come out of her, my people, do not be a partaker of her plagues. For her sins are piled high as heaven, give her double for all the wrong she has done. And He shall judge, and there shall be great sorrow. And there'll be other cities where the Lord of hosts shall have driven wickedness back, and He will have found faith in the earth. Faith that has rebuilt the ancient ruins. Faith that believes every word of God cannot be broken, it can only be fulfilled. Faith that says, I give my life as Christ did for the world, I give my life for my cities. Faith that comes to the altar to get God. No more programs, God. Faith that comes and persists with God until He comes and clothes them on high. So Father, we just come before You tonight. We thank You, Lord God. We thank You, Lord, that You are taking some of the veils off of our eyes, Lord, that You're giving us a grace, Father God, to be awake to what You want to do in this hour. Father, tonight, why don't you all stand with me if you would? How many of the musicians are still here? Do we have drums and bass? Can we do a couple of war songs at the very end? Okay. Does that scare you? You look scared for a second. Lord, we're asking for an anointing. Lord, we don't want to just zoom out of here in presumptuous faith or so-called faith. We don't want to zoom out here with our eyes just blinded and stirred up by any kind of human zeal. God, we want You. That's what we're saying tonight, Father. We want You as You were revealed to us as Savior. Father, we want You as You were revealed to us as Lord. We want You as You have been revealed to us as Healer. We want You as You've been revealed to us as the Redeemer, as our Shepherd, as our Peace. We want You, Lord God, to be revealed to us as Captain of the Hosts. God, we want to see in our own spirit, Lord, that the goal of what you are working in us is to produce in us a unity that you can anoint, a quality of life that you can empower, that goes in and literally sees the strongholds of hell toppled like the walls that came down around Jericho. Father, by the grace of God and by the power you have given, right now I release the anointing of this understanding, Lord. Let it increase, O God. Let it expand, Father. Lord, let those who are among us here exceed anyone's expectations in believing you and positioning themselves where you can use us to see our city turned. Lord God, we cry to you, Lord, to release, open our minds, open our hearts, open our understanding, God. Flood us with the knowledge of the Lord of hosts. Flood us, O God, with the arm that is not too short that it cannot heal. God, flood us, O God. Lord, and raise us up, united, worshiping and warring to see your kingdom established and to see your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we do... God has given us the city. Okay? We're going to just close right now with a victory shout. And then we're going to do the song. Okay? 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah, Lord! Bless your name, Lord! Bless your name, Lord! God. Thank you, Lord. That was the introduction. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Let's say it's a Columbus, you belong to Jesus. Perhaps everybody hasn't heard that yet, but it's still true. Come on, say it again. Columbus, you belong to Jesus. Jesus is Lord over Columbus. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time together tonight in your presence. Thank you for what our ears have heard and what our heart feels. And Lord, I thank you that you're raising up a people who will respond to the call of God, will hear that militant sound, and will rise up as an army. Thank you, Lord, that we're beginning to understand this is not a volunteer army. Because the moment we were born into your family, we became soldiers. Now thank you that you're teaching us how to fight. I praise you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody together said, amen.